It is my pleasure to introduce William John Windsor. Now, Mr. Windsor, first of all, where and when were you born?
In Munising, Michigan, in 1903, 25th of January, Bobby Burns' night.
You're not a Scots?
No.
What is your nationality?
Look at it, it's English, I think.
you think. Now, after you came from Michigan, where did you come to?
Lethbridge, Alberta, 1910.
At that time, what did you do?
I was about 7 years old. So my father was locating people on homesteads out of Lethbridge.
And how long did you stay there?
Till 11. Then we moved back to B.C.
Now, let's jump a few years. Mm-hmm. Let's jump it up to about 1927. Where were you then?
Came from Calgary, from the B Squadron Strathcona on the horse to the Hutton Mills.
That's not too far out of Prince George.
No. It's just northeast of Prince George.
And you came under the United Grain Growers?
That's right. UGG is the initials.
What did that actually mean?
United Grain Growers of Alberta.
What was that?
Elevators.
Okay. Did you do any rodeo work at all?
Yeah, on 27 I did. I rode rodeo here in 27.
What, Brahma bulls?
No, there weren't any Brahma bulls then.
Okay. Now, you, in the family, your own family at that time, your father and mother.
Yeah.
How many were there?
Well, he had 12 all told. Out of the 12, I was the only boy in the family, and I was a twin at that.
You were a twin. Is your twin still alive?
No. She died a month later.
How old are you now?
Going on to 78.
Going on to 78. Okay. Now, you went out of the Legion here in what year?
1939. And the night Canada declared war, eh? With Al Fingstrom.
You went out with him?
No, he joined the Searchlights. I joined the active force.
For goodness sakes.
And who was that guy that... just a minute. Who was that guy that owned...
It's all right, go ahead.
He was with me for 2 years. Owned that machine shop.
I don't know.
Pat, that's his wife's thing.
Well, it doesn't matter anyway. Now, in 1928, we're going back now.
Okay.
You were a linesman?
I worked with Bob Kerr, and we put the city on its first 24-hour service it ever had. Old Alec Nash used to turn it off at 5 o'clock at night, turn it on at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Was that with Ken Jack?
No. Long before that. Old Alec Nash.
Just put it on. Nobody's coming.
Now we'll take it from there, Red. Mills, Hutton, Jessica, and Alexander. What does that mean?
That means Mills.
Did you work?
Yes, I was riding carriage.
What does riding carriage at that time meant?
Setting up your saw so they cut the right size.
Okay, then in 1931, what's this Trans-Canada Tel business?
Well, that was when you built the telephone outfit from Halifax to Vancouver.
Where were you on that deal?
In the Cooties.
What were you doing?
I was guying foreman. Andy McGregor had the contract. That's out of Edmonton. McGregor Contractors. And I happened to be lucky.
You're climbing poles?
Oh, sure.
How big were the poles at that time? Any bigger than they are now?
Well, maybe no bigger, but there were some of them taller, I think. At least it took me a long time to get up.
What kind of equipment, Red, at that time would you say you had to climb a pole?
A pair of spurs and a safety belt, that's all.
How did you come down, fast?
Yeah, you drop.
Okay, in 1932, let's go from there.
All right.
To Saxon Lake in the Kootenays.
I started trapping then. The first thing I ever caught in my life was a coyote on the meadow outside of the cabin.
Give me a story.
And then I went on from there. And I've been trapping ever since.
What's the Sheep Creek?
Sheep Creek is out of Fort Steele.
Okay, 1933. You were back in the city of Prince George.
Yeah.
And you started trapping from the Nechaco Bridge, right? All right, give me your story and tell it to me in detail. The whole thing about your trap line, everything.
Well, you see, Jack, Regina and I lived together for 17 years. Never were married. Because Minnie held the franchise, eh? She had from the army, but she needed her and her old head. I never forgave. And I never will. But I'd be a pretty hard guy. You may not think so, but I can.
Give me your trapping story.
Oh, that's nothing. Just
I want it from the Jacob Bridge. I want it from the 4191 section, which I don't know what it means.
Well, that is what they call the Pat Burns lease. The university trip.
Keep talking.
4191, 4190. My last cabin was on 4190.
Nobody knows where that is.
I don't know. Hell, I haven't been back, Jack, for how many years now?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
On your trap line, what was it, about 300 square miles?
Around that. I wouldn't say any more or any less.
Red, you told me before we started this interview you would talk. And now I'm asking the questions and you're not saying too much. No. You're trapped for furs.
That's right. For money.
Okay. What was your biggest year? 1939, you made $1,500.
That would be the limit. But the biggest catch I ever had was muskrat, you remember? I told you that.
No.
400 and some.
Red, you then went into Carp Lake. What year?
74, somewhere around there.
Yeah. You made a killing.
I had the only... Am I on the air?
Yes.
I had the only permission from Robin, you know, from the Indian Department to trap Carp Lake.
100 miles?
Hmm?
100 miles?
500. Right up to the nation's jack. And when I left Carp Lake with Al Hubble, I was supposed to... I was supposed to own 25%, eh? I got enough equipment out there and the snowmobiles and stuff to shake your head. But he'll never admit it.
Okay. Now, when you went out on 1972 in Carp, you were telling me about a grizzly. Well, give me the story, will you please?
Well, I just shot it, that's all. I tried to...
No, give me a story about
it. All right, Jack. Well, I was coming around the bend. I had left my nephew and his pal to take canoes and cruise the lake, and I tried to drive Bon Moose all day. And I'm coming around this bend, and, you know, you don't cut the trail very wide. Christ almighty, I heard Carp start to snarl and growl. And there she came, and her mane was standing that high, mister. I had to use 2 shots to kill her. But she got my dog for a while. And then these damn fools came back and said, Uncle Bill, you know, we found a friend of yours at Carp. He says his name is Carp. God, I had a good ending for that dog.
That was the dog?
Yeah.
God.
But Jack, I don't pull the trigger often. Why do I mean it?
You, in your career, you have been a registered guide?
For 40 years anyway.
Is that a registered guide? Is that done by the game department?
More or less. All I have to do is sit here and tell you where to go. Am I making a liar out of it?
No, I mean, I don't know anything about it. So.
Yeah, I know what it is. I can sit right here, be a registered guide, tell you where to go, as an assistant guide.
As an assistant guide?
No, as a registered guide.
I see.
I am the only registered guide. Or at least I would be, right?
Now, as a registered guide, how many people can you take out?
2.
How many?
2.
2?
You can't guide more than 2 at one time.
How long have you been out on a trip?
Oh, 10 days was my limit at that time.
What were you hunting?
Moose, chiefly.
And mostly whom? What kind of people? Americans?
Or? Mostly Americans, because they had the money.
Well, that's an honest deal. Would you... actually be willing to teach people?
I'd love to. I'd love to.
I mean, give them some hints, some understanding.
I'd love to.
Well, give me your phone number, would you please?
964-9258. You got it there.
Yeah, I got it right here on the deal.
No,
but,
Jack, I won't cheat you, and you won't cheat me. We never have.
What about the game laws now, Bill?
I don't like them.
Why?
Well, all right then, Jack. They tell you that you got to kill a small moose now, eh? Well, why? Because the bull of the herd is like you. You get 50 elk together. And there's one man that's the boss. So the young guys don't get anything. You got more barren cows now than you ever had in your life. I'm not kidding. I know wildlife.
Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Same thing?
Same thing. Big rams, yep. They control the whole deal, don't they?
I wouldn't know.
Well, look it over. Go down and make a tour and find out.
They do.
Oh, yeah. They control it. Because one man is the boss.
Is there any difference in the species at all? Where
Between the stone and the bighorn, yes, there is. The stone is on the northern range. Stone sheep. The bighorn is the Kootenai sheep.
Have you ever gone for sheep?
Yes. In the Kootenai.
In the Kootenai.
Yeah, not here.
Why not here, Bill?
Well, I never had the parties.
Would you
pay enough?
Where could you go here, actually?
Well, I think I'd try the Nation.
Nation River?
No, Nation Range.
Oh, well, all I know is the Nation River area, but...
Smothers? No. If you're going in for bighorn, I'd say the Kootenais are going north. north and west of the...
Now, let's talk about the wolves for a little while.
Okay.
A wolf, I found out myself the other day, Bill, that Wolverine has nothing to do with the wolf family.
No, it's a weasel.
Yeah, it's the weasel family, yes. All right, a wolf, when you're out in the bush, they attack?
No, they never will. There's no proven fact. It's never been proven by the Russians or anybody else that a wolf ever attacked a human.
What did you say by the Russians?
Well, because all these stories about the Cossacks and all that, eh? You read quite a bit, don't you, Jack?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've walked into packs of 35 and 40 at a time without a rifle.
Nobody attacked you?
No.
Why? Why is the story saying that they...
I don't know. I don't really know, Jack. It's maybe Disney's vision. I don't know. But you ask any old hunter, Alan Boyd, any of them old guys, they've never been attacked.
Never been attacked by a wolf?
No. No man has. No white man.
Well, a native either, eh?
No. No, they won't. It's not proven yet. Oh, they've been trying. Yes, I know that.
Why, in that case, would people be so scared of them?
Because of Disney and publicity, eh? Your picture's on TV. They'll make anybody crazy if you listen. I know more about hunting than half the guys in this town. But I can't tell you.
Why can't you?
Because you won't listen.
I'm listening.
No, but I mean, the average citizen. They got their idea and you've got yours. No, never, never fire a shot unless you wound an animal.
You never fire a shot unless you had to.
That's right.
And that was with the hunting parties?
A couple of times.
And when they tried to kill something and didn't do it?
I had to, eh? I said I had to.
What was the biggest thing, animal, that you've ever seen?
An elk.
Whereabouts?
On Sheep Peak out of Fort Steele.
How big would you say that elk was?
Well, it would be a trophy. A Boone Crawford, a Crawford trophy? There's only so many in the world. He debated, and I didn't shoot.
Why?
Well, I didn't know then that you could pack it up. I'd have to have a pack horse and crack the horns and everything else.
So what do you mean when you crack the horns?
Well, are you going to put a big elk spread on a pack horse and get through the bush? Holy Christ, Jack.
Mm-hmm. I understand what you mean. Now, when you clean a moose, you were telling me a little while ago about ears, and this is something.
You skin the ears up?
And, wait a minute, I haven't got the mic over to you yet. The ears and the nose, and this is something I don't know. Yeah. All right, now I'm going to let you go and tell me.
Well, all right. First you take a piece of horn or something, shove it in the ear and turn it inside out, and you skin it out, eh? But your muzzle and your muffle, what they call moose muffle? I don't know the French pronunciation, but I call it muffle. And you have to get all that cartilage out. You got to take everything out of the horns. And then when you come up the back of the neck, like this, you split your skin out.
Go ahead.
Well.
What else?
And take damn good care of your hide. Like I can skin and not leave anything, eh? But the average guy goes out, he just slaughters the damn moose and throws it in the truck and brings it into town.
I want to thank you, William and John Windsor. for talking to me, and we're going to be back and talk to you again. Thank you very much.